I don't know how many of you saw my last two videos. My most recent one was called Enemy of the State. And this video is about House Bill 945 in Florida, which in all of my years of reading bills across multiple states and at the federal level, this is quite possibly the worst piece of legislation I've ever seen written. This was written by a state representative who looks like him. State Representative Danny Alvarez of Florida's 69th House District wrote a bill, and it was so bad, I had to dig into it a little deeper. I wanted to know who supported this guy. Why did he introduce this piece of legislation? One of his biggest supporters was this organization known as the GEO Group. The GEO Group is a private prison, you know, an organization that makes money when people go to prison. They supported him financially, so he drafted the bill. The bill was appropriately described as a constitutional train wreck for many reasons I'll mention in a moment. But the bill was introduced on December 30th, 3 weeks after Danny Alvarez received his second multi-$1,000 donation from GEO Group. The bill's introduced, it sails through the first committee, it sails through the second committee, it sails through the third committee. And at the time I made this video, it was still in committee awaiting a vote to go to the House floor. And I started looking at, okay, I've played this game before. I used to be a state representative in Indiana. And I wanted to know who is lobbying for this. Well, there were six registered lobbyists on this piece of legislation. Most of them were opposed to it, Common Cause, the NAACP, but there was only one organization that was registered to lobby in favor of it, and that's a company called Cellebrite. Cellebrite is an Israeli digital intelligence company. They make extraction tools for law enforcement to get into people's phones and gather data from their phones. And this is the only organization that was supporting it. So the way I summarize this, a state representative backed by a scandal-ridden private prison organization introduced a constitutional train wreck of a bill backed by an Israeli intelligence company. What could possibly go wrong? I'm very pleased tonight to report to you this is dead. Dead as a doornail. The Florida General Assembly wrapped up business last Friday. Now, it did not pass during the regular session, meaning that it is dead for the year. There is the slimmest of chances this could come back this year. Because even though Florida has a Republican governor, they have a Republican supermajority in the House, they have a Republican supermajority in the Senate, they still couldn't get a budget passed. Now, I can understand that when you have Democrats controlling one chamber and Republicans controlling the other, but when you have Republican supermajorities in both chambers and the governor, and you still can't agree on a budget. So anyway, Governor DeSantis is calling the legislature back into session in a few weeks. But their charter is only work on the budget. They are not supposed to be taking up any other legislation. So chances are this is dead for the year. It could very well come back in 2027, but for 2026, it does look like the people's voice has been heard. So everybody watching on YouTube, thank you to every one of you that contacted your representatives. If you live in Florida, our voices were heard. This legislation died. But we are far from being done. I want to thank Banish Big Brother, who is sponsoring tonight's event, providing appetizers for everyone here tonight. And also want to thank them for helping to coordinate this event, as well as the event in Fayetteville, Georgia, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Knoxville, Tennessee. So thank you very much. What I want to talk to you about mainly tonight is the companion video that I did to the one about Enemy of the State. I made a video called Surveillance Bingo because it seems like no matter what intrusive piece of surveillance technology is introduced, we always hear the same thing. It's for public safety. Everything is for public safety. And it's only intruding on your privacy this much, but it's one of a thousand things intruding on your privacy this much. And as I started looking at all the different surveillance technologies, and I realized there are types of surveillance technology most people are not aware of, I wanted to make a video just not going deep on them, but just going shallow enough to say, here's what it is, here's where you can find it. Because here's what's going on. Most people carry a cell phone. There is a company called Fog Data Science, and Fog Data Science has contracts with many of the apps that you have on your smartphone. Those apps, if you give it permission to see your location, like a weather app, if you give it permission to see your location, that app is collecting where you are 24/7 forever. And then they sell that information to Fog Data Science, who aggregates it. And then they sell a subscription service like Netflix to law enforcement. So if someone gets on law enforcement's radar screen, go look up their phone and then see where they have been. And we're talking about something you carry in your purse or you carry in your pocket, and they can see within a matter of a couple of feet where you have been 24/7 for years. No warrant required. So this surveillance infrastructure has been out there, but it's invisible. All you see is your cell phone. All you see is the app on your cell phone. Now, there is another company called Flock Surveillance. They look like this. Flock started getting a lot of pushback because they are the visible part of the surveillance infrastructure. As you drive around, and I drove down from Indiana yesterday to Alabama, as you drive around, you see thousands of these. There's well over 100,000 of these in the United States now. They're everywhere. And as much as I dislike the surveillance associated with Flock cameras, I am thankful for one aspect of it. It's visible. Because it's visible, people have started saying, what is this? Why is it there? Why are they everywhere I go now? It's the visible part of the infrastructure. And so that's what I want to focus on during the rest of this presentation, the visible portion of the surveillance infrastructure. Because most people are familiar with Flock, I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time talking about them tonight. There is another company called LiveView, and the Lowe's up in Indianapolis has one of these trailers parked in the parking lot. They have a 22-foot tower with a bunch of high-resolution cameras. From 22 feet and with the resolution of those cameras, they can see a person almost a mile away. They can identify a person almost a quarter mile away, which the last time I checked, a mile is a little bit bigger than the parking lot of a Lowe's. So we're not talking about they're just using this for protecting their own property. With this, they can look into people's windows blocks away from the Lowe's store. But they have these up there. This is another visible portion of the surveillance infrastructure. So let's take a look at a few other pieces that are visible of the surveillance infrastructure. We've got Ring doorbells. They've been in the news a lot lately because they created a partnership with Flock. Flock has drones, and I personally find this offensive. I have a good friend who is a first responder. He trains paramedics. He is a first responder. Flock is selling drones that they call first responders. Can someone please explain to me how that drone is going to put a tourniquet on somebody who's bleeding out? Explain to me how that drone is going to help pull somebody out of a burning car. This is not a first responder, it's a first observer. It's really good if you want to get video of somebody bleeding out. You want to watch someone die? Send one of those and let it hover over as they burn to death in a car. that is not a first responder. But that's the way it's being sold. Our personal health devices, they're recording our heart rate, they're recording, in some cases, blood pressure. They're recording all this information that's being aggregated to be used against us. Go into any store nowadays, and facial recognition is so common, it's practically a given that the stores that you go in today are using facial recognition. Walmart is not content with using facial recognition. They have a patent for emotional recognition. Because it's not enough to know who you are, it's not enough to know what you're looking at, but I need to know what you think about it as you're looking at it. And I wish I were making this up. They have a patent for emotional recognition to read the looks on people's faces and decide, does somebody look bored? Does somebody look happy? Do they look angry? I'm sure that will never be weaponized against us either. What you watch on TV. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a lawsuit against the 5 largest television makers in the United States. And when I say television makers in the United States, some of them are foreign, but against the 5 companies that sell the most TVs in the United States. What he filed the lawsuit against them for is for a quote feature called automatic content recognition, ACR. Here's what ACR does when you're watching anything on your smart TV. You're sitting there watching a television show. Doesn't matter if it's Netflix, doesn't matter if it is something coming off of a streaming service or coming from over-air broadcast. If you're watching content on your smart TV, could be your Xbox, could be your PlayStation. If you are showing family photos or family homemade movies on your smart TV, automatic content recognition is taking a screen capture twice a second. Every half a second, it takes a screenshot, sends that back to the mothership. And that's being used because we have to know what you're watching. Educational content, religious content, whatever it is you're watching, somebody wants to know. And the rationale for this, well, we can better target ads. If I know that you're into this type of video game, then that's going to go in your dossier, and I can charge more money for companies that want to sell video games because I know you're interested in video games. So this is being done by advertising companies, but it never ends there. The advertising companies are compiling incredibly detailed dossiers on every one of us. And then once they do that, that information gets sold over and over again. Now, I'm going to come back in just a moment and tie all of this together. But keep in mind, what you watch on TV, whether it is photos that you took on your phone that you're playing on your TV, and this doesn't even matter if you're using Apple TV or Roku, because what's happening is when it shows up on your screen, your television itself is taking the screenshots and sending back to Samsung, LG, Sony, or whoever. So even if you're using a streaming service like Apple TV, your television is still reporting back what you're watching. All of this data that we're talking about falls under a broad category known as pattern of life data. Pattern of life data, Flock is recording license plates everywhere you go. And I really dislike the decision handed down in Virginia about a month ago. A couple of people in Norfolk, Virginia had sued the city for putting up about 170 Flock cameras. And they said, this is an invasion of privacy. These cameras know everywhere we go. And when the judge heard the case, the judge decided, no, they don't know everywhere you go. Because if I monitor 170 intersections in a city, and you drive through one of these intersections, I don't know where you're going. I know that you went through this intersection, but I don't know what your ultimate destination was. And I disagree with the judge. because the judge did not take into account what AI can do. If I drive through this intersection and a Flock camera records my license plate, they know that my car was at this intersection. And a block further, there is another Flock camera, and I don't drive past that one for an hour. Okay, doesn't take a genius to say he went through this intersection, but he didn't go through that intersection. Gee, I wonder where he went. Somewhere between this intersection and this intersection. One of these businesses on this street is where he went. I'm a 59-year-old male. If there are four businesses between these two Flock cameras, what's the probability I went to the nail salon? Pretty low. If one of these places is a bar that doesn't open until 6 p.m. and I went through there at noon, what's the odds I went to the bar that was closed? Pretty low. If one of them was a restaurant and I went through there at lunchtime, what's the odds I went there? Pretty high. AI is really good at figuring out probabilities and saying, here's where that person probably went. So even though that Flock camera doesn't know I went to that restaurant, AI can very easily say, you went through this intersection, you didn't go through that intersection, here's the businesses, 98% probability you went here. So I disagree with the judge who said, this isn't detailed enough to be a matter of concern. Yes, it is. But where you go, Fog Data Science is recording that from your phone, Flock is recording it based on your car. What you watch, what you read, we have websites that are recording what you're doing. What you buy, use a credit card, it's going to be recorded. And I had a subscriber reach out to me after I did a video a few, probably 2 months ago. He said, I went to Walmart, I intentionally left my phone at home. I went to Walmart, I went in, I paid cash. And when I got home, there was an email waiting for me from Walmart asking me to leave a review for one of the products I just purchased. My subscriber was asking me, how did they do that? And I am not 100% certain, but I'm about 95% certain. It was the payment terminal. You went through self-checkout. Even though you used cash, the camera inside of the payment terminal got a good look at your face, and they know who you are. Facial recognition, they know who you are. They know what you just purchased because you had to scan a barcode, and now they can send you the email. They didn't need you to have your phone with you. They didn't need you to pay by credit card. They associated your face with your purchase. Where you go, what you read, what you buy, what you post online, who you call or text, who you meet in person, your hobbies and interests, your values and beliefs. This is all what is called pattern of life data. And most people, I get so annoyed at hearing this. Let's all say it together. If you're not doing anything wrong, doesn't matter who's watching you. Well, that was never completely true, but it's even less true today than what it used to be. And I'm going to jump ahead in this presentation because I want to show you something. The bill that I mentioned that I called the enemy of the state bill. This is a bill that was introduced in the Florida House of Representatives. It cleared three House committees. A Senate companion bill cleared one Senate committee. But here's what the bill does. It creates a counterterrorism unit. And because this is going on YouTube, I'm just going to refer to it as the CTU from now on because YouTube doesn't like the T word. But it creates this CTU, and you might think, well, that's okay. We have CTUs all over the place. And in fact, at the federal level, we have lots and lots of organizations to fight the T word. So who could be opposed to this? When you think about fighting the T word, that's as American as it gets. That's apple pie served on an American flag tablecloth. But here's the problem. We already have numerous federal agencies that are responsible for fighting the T word. There's been fictional TV series about this. my problem isn't just Florida wanting their own state level CTU. The problem is, what's the purpose of the CTU? It says that it's for the CTU activities to detect, identify, neutralize. That's an interesting word. What does neutralize mean? That's a military term, and it basically means kill. We're going to go neutralize the enemy. That's a euphemism for let's go blow them up. So this state agency is responsible for neutralizing and exploiting adversary intelligence entities and T-words. I've at least heard this word used enough to have a general idea what it means. The exact definition of what is a terrorist seems to depend a lot based on who's in the White House. Sometimes this includes Catholics. Sometimes this includes pro-life people. Sometimes this includes all types of criteria. Basically, it's a word that has a very loose meaning, and depending on who is in the White House, they can tweak the definition to send the Justice Department after whoever they want. But at least I know the general definition of the T word. A person who uses violence or the threat of violence to accomplish political ends. That is the definition of a T word. But the bill introduced in Florida is also going after adversary intelligence entities. That's a term I'm not familiar with. What is an adversary intelligence entity? The first time I read that, the instant I read that, in my mind I'm thinking the Russian GRU, the old KGB. This sounds like a foreign intelligence entity. But it doesn't say foreign, it just says adversary intelligence entity. Okay, thankfully the bill kinda sorta tells us what this means. It's not the group that Boris and Natasha worked for. It's not even the people that Maxwell Smart and Agent 99 were after. Here is the definition of an adversary intelligence entity. The term adversary intelligence entity includes, but is not limited to, any, and then a whole bunch of descriptors. Could be a friendly government, could be a competitive government, could be a foreign government. Any government or non-governmental organization, company, business, corporation, consortium, group, agency, cell, insurgent, guerrilla, or person. So an adversary intelligence entity can be a single person. Could be you. Well, what about a person would make them an adverse intelligence entity? Adverse intelligence entity, who this group is authorized to neutralize, includes people whose demonstrated actions, views, or opinions are a threat or are inimical. Fancy word that just means harmful. So if you are a person whose views or opinions are a threat or harmful to the interests of this state, the state of Florida, or the United States, congratulations, you are an adversary intelligence entity. We'll go on in a minute and look at what that actually means in practice. What happens to you if you are a foreign, I keep using the word foreign because in my mind I'm thinking we don't do this to American citizens. What if you are an adversary intelligence entity? What if you hold views or opinions that are a threat to the interests of the state? When I said the bill kind of sorta defines what an adversary intelligence entity is, can anyone tell me what the interests of the states are? Because if you hold views or opinions that are harmful to those interests, you're in trouble. So can anyone tell me what are the interests of the state? What's that?
Whatever they say they are.
Whatever they say. This bill does not list what the interests of the state are. So let's look at a couple of realistic scenarios, what's the number one threat facing the United States today? Obviously, it's climate change. Climate change used to be a problem until we decided to build 500 new data centers that each need a couple of gigawatts apiece. And all of a sudden, climate change isn't an issue anymore. Don't talk about climate change. We need more data centers. 2 years ago, we were shutting down power plants and building windmills and solar panels. I must have missed the story about Bill Gates putting up thousands of windmills to run his data centers. But all of a sudden, the man who has previously said that the number one threat to the world is actually overpopulation, because overpopulation is causing climate change, he changed his tune when he realized we need a whole lot more power production. So the climate, it'll be fine. Just give us more power. So here's my question. If you still hold to the idea that climate change is real and we shouldn't be building more power or more data centers, are you now an enemy of the state? Because 2 years ago, global warming was a big deal. It was going to kill us all eventually. And now, no, global warming is not an issue. Don't know whoever thought that, certainly not Bill Gates. If you still hold to the idea that climate change is an issue, are you now an enemy of the state? Because the state's interest is in building data centers. And if you think more CO2 is going to be a problem, you're an enemy of the state. Let's look at another one. Bill Gates has on numerous occasions said overpopulation is a threat. So if you advocate for young people to get married and have kids, are you an enemy of the state? Well, President Trump is actually trying to encourage people to have more kids because birth rate in the United States is below replacement. So if you are advocating for people to not have kids, are you an enemy of the state? I'm confused. Are we for having more kids or are we against having more kids? Because I don't want to be an enemy of the state. Sign me up for whatever Governor DeSantis says we're supposed to believe. And here's the scary part. Governor DeSantis is only in office until January. He is term limited, and this is his last year in office. So in January, Florida is going to have a new governor. Had this bill passed, let's look at the actual words. Words mean things. A person whose demonstrated actions, views, or opinions are a threat or harmful to the interests of this state and the United States of America. This is a long shot, but let's assume for just a moment a Democrat wins the governor's race in Florida. And let's just suppose the Democrat governor says it's the interest of the state for people to have smaller families. Okay, so if you are advocating for people to have bigger families, you're an enemy of the state. Your views, your opinions are against the interests of Florida. But what if the president of the United States wants people to have bigger families? You've had it. Because whether you think people should have bigger families, you're fighting the interest of Florida, or whether you think people should have smaller families, you're fighting the interest of the United States. This statement assumes the governor of Florida and the president of the United States are always going to be in agreement. Because the first time those two individuals, whoever the governor is, whoever the president is, we could be talking 5-10 years down the road, if they have different interests, if they are pushing different agendas, you're going to be an enemy of one or the other. This is horrible legislation. Now, when I first started talking about this, I had people asking, how would they even know what my views or opinions are? Well, that's where patterns of life come in. Because in the bill, this is the bill that died, thankfully, but very likely to come back next year. In the bill, it says the CTU shall identify threats by analyzing patterns of life. Where you drive, who you talk to, what you post online. The surveillance infrastructure is out there to gather all this information so that we can read minds, so that I can know what Elizabeth's thinking, and if she's not thinking the right thing, I can send a CTU out to neutralize her. Again, that's what the bill says. Now, I've had people say, that's ridiculous, they would never do that, you're exaggerating. I've been a legislator. You know how much difference the intent of this bill makes when it goes to court? Zero. It does not make one single bit of difference. You could get every legislator who voted for this to go in and testify in court under oath, that's not what we intended to do. And the judge will say, how's that relevant to this case? This is what the law says. If it's not what you meant, you should have written something else. But this is what you wrote, this is what you voted for, this is what the governor signed, that's what people are going to be sentenced under. So whenever someone says, well, that's not what they intended, that's irrelevant. All that matters is, what did the bill say when it was signed into law? So now I want to jump back to this patterns of life thought. And we're not going to spend a bunch of time going into all of these. I've already talked about a couple of them, like the automatic content recognition. Already talked about Flock, but there's a few of them that I just want to elaborate on a little bit. Smart meters. There is a strong business case for smart meters. I'm old enough to remember once a month, somebody from the power company would walk up to your house, usually into your backyard. They would read a meter that was an analog meter. It had dials in it. They would read it. They would write it down. Here's how much electricity this house has used. Compare it to how much you had used last month so we can see how much did you use this month. We're going to calculate a bill, and that's how much you owe. That doesn't happen much anymore. Smart meters are all digital. These are cellular enabled, or sometimes they can actually transmit data over the power line. But this monitors how much electricity you use, and now I don't have to pay someone to come out to your house and walk into your backyard to read the meter. The meter will tell me how much power you used. I actually like that. I like the idea that an employee of the power company isn't walking onto my property into my backyard every month. But of course, we can't leave it there. In addition to knowing how much power I used, what makes these meters smart, they can tell where the power went inside your house. The old power meters just said you used this many kilowatt hours of electricity last month. This one, there are electronic signatures to the devices running in your house. A television has a very different signature than your refrigerator or your freezer or your water heater. This meter can tell how much electricity did you use heating water. So just file this away for a moment. Smart meter can tell how much water you heated last month. Why would that matter? What on earth relevance does that have to anything? Well, okay, we've talked about these. If I have a smart meter, and it can see that I am now using more hot water than I used to by, say, 20% more. What's your guess? How do I explain, Elizabeth's house, you're using 20% more hot water than you used to use? Yeah. Could be however many people live in your home are taking longer showers. That would be kind of odd for a bunch of people to all of a sudden decide to start taking longer showers. The most likely explanation, if she has a family of four and they see a 25% increase in water usage, probably means they have a guest staying with them. if I see her electricity usage drops for heating water, probably means one of her kids went off to college, or you know, her husband's out on a business trip or something. But I can determine patterns of life from your electricity usage. So just file that away for a minute. We'll come back to it. We've talked about Flock. These cameras are everywhere. They are the biggest name in automated license plate readers, but they don't have a monopoly on it. One of their competitors is called Leonardo. And you notice how small this is. This is a much, much smaller physical unit than what the Flock are. These are not connected to a big solar panel. One of the selling advantages of Flock, you can go out in the middle of nowhere. This is near my house. You can go out in the middle of nowhere, put a pole in the ground, hang a solar panel on the top of the pole, and there's cellular communications inside the camera. You don't have to run wires to it. That makes this very cheap to deploy. Because typically, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, running power lines to this is what dooms it. Well, Leonardo, they're powered. They don't need solar. A lot of what they make is mounted to a vehicle, so you just run it into your 12-volt battery system. But the main reason you normally don't see these, and I could not find any data on how many they've sold. I know Flock is over 100,000 cameras. I don't know what Leonardo is. But two reasons that you don't see them: number one, they're smaller, and number two, they are made to be disguised. This is a Leonardo license plate reader inside of a toolbox on the back of a pickup truck. There it is inside of a traffic cone. Here it is inside of a cargo carrier on top of an unmarked car. So these are made to be hidden. But here's what Leonardo does that Flock doesn't do. Leonardo has a feature called Signal Trace. And here's what Signal Trace does. If I drive somewhere, Flock or Leonardo can get my license plate and know this license plate went through this intersection at this time on this day. Flock, in addition to getting my license plate, will also get my bumper stickers. But what Leonardo can get, now not every Leonardo camera has this, but it's an option. If the law enforcement entity that paid for the camera pays for this as well, you're going to get a couple of white squares like this. Those are antennas. And what those antennas are listening for is this and this and this. These antennas, the reason it's called Signal Trace, identify suspects through electronic devices they carry. So every time I drive past a Leonardo with Signal Trace, it captures my license plate number and it captures the electronic signature of every Bluetooth device I have. So pair of AirPods, these have a unique identifier, Bluetooth identifier. And every time I drive past a Signal Trace, it says, aha, there's a pair of AirPods that belong to this license plate. There's an Apple Watch that belongs to this license plate. There's a cell phone that belongs to this license plate. If you wear a continuous glucose meter, congratulations, it's been tied to your license plate. If you have a pacemaker, congratulations, it's been tied to your license plate. So this system knows every electronic device that is normally associated with your license plate. Now, what happens if my car breaks down and I call a coworker and ask, hey, this is an emergency, would you mind picking me up for work tomorrow? And now Daryl gives me a ride to work tomorrow. And we drive by one of these. Okay, Daryl's license plate is going to be recorded along with Daryl's smartwatch and Daryl's phone. And it's going to say, hey, there goes John Padfield's AirPods. There goes John Padfield's smartwatch. There goes his cell phone. He must be in the car with Daryl. Make a note of that. We now have an association because most people don't give rides to strangers. And if they see us going north on a road in the morning and they see both of us going south on that road in the evening, he's given me two rides. And if that happens 2 days in a row, I now have good data points that says John and Daryl know each other and they must at least like each other enough that they're willing to give each other rides. So this is, again, pattern of life. When I said pattern of life includes who do you meet, not just online, but in person, this is one of the technologies. This is a technology. If you're in law enforcement, you're probably familiar with it. If you're not in law enforcement, you're probably hearing about it for the first time. This sounds like conspiracy theory. Who cares about what pair of AirPods go down the road at a certain time? Well, people do, because they're building social networks, who knows who. And Signal Trace, which even picks up things like your dog. If you have your dog chipped, Signal Trace will pick that up. So Signal Trace is one way they can start building these maps of who knows each other. Then we get into Ring Camera. During the Super Bowl, Ring ran an ad for something called Search Party. And they portrayed it as, oh, this is just for finding lost pets. Because it'd be so much more efficient to turn everybody's house into a spy rather than just putting a $20 Apple AirTag in the collar of your dog. And then you would know exactly where your dog is 24/7. But Ring advertised with Search Party, if your dog goes missing, we can turn every Ring doorbell camera in the neighborhood into a search and we can find your lost dog. Of course, that would never ever be used for finding people, even though Ring has facial recognition built into it now. Amazon Ring security cameras moving deeper into law enforcement with Flock Safety. Now, this is a dated article because last October, Ring and Flock said, we're forming a partnership. Now, Flock will not only get all of your license plate data, but now Flock is going to be able to look at all of the Ring doorbells. Thankfully, because of blowback after the Super Bowl ad, Amazon Ring decided to cancel their contract with Flock. I want to caution everyone, Ring has a habit of reversing themselves. They'll announce we're going to do this, and then they do something completely different, and then they announce we're not going to do that anymore, and then they do it again. So the fact that they have announced they are canceling their contract with Flock, great. I hope it's true. Even if it is true, there's nothing to stop them 2 months from now from saying, yeah, let's do it, but let's just not announce it to anyone. So for now, they have announced that they've canceled this. Would not surprise me at all if it comes back. What makes me so confident of that, 404 Media, who I am not an affiliate of, don't have any connection to them other than I enjoy their news coverage. 404 Media published an article about leaked emails, and the leaked emails demonstrate Flock has always intended on using Search Party for finding people. Their article, this is a direct quote from the email that the CEO of Ring sent to all the employees of Ring. You can now see a future where we are able to zero out crime in neighborhoods. So one of two things, either lost dogs are committing all the crime in neighborhoods because we're gonna zero out crime with these being able to find lost dogs, or this was intended for finding people. I kind of lean towards a second explanation. I made a whole video on this. If you have Ring cameras, and if you care about privacy, you probably don't, but if you do have Ring cameras and you care about privacy, please get rid of them. I personally have Eufy. Eufy has local storage, and this is not a commercial for Eufy because I am going to replace every one of them. on paper, Eufy looks great. They have a good privacy policy. But when I was researching this video, I started looking at how many lawsuits Eufy has been in, because even though they have local storage, they're still sending data back to mainland China. And they are using facial recognition and assigning unique IDs to every face that walks by them. So I have not replaced mine yet. It's a significant investment, but I am going to be replacing it. Right now, I'm leaning towards going with RioLink. RioLink is what I'm leaning toward. I haven't made a firm decision yet because there's still a few others that I'm evaluating. So we've talked about the smart TVs. We've talked about the electronic devices. But here's where I want to go with all of this. Let's just imagine for a moment one of your friends becomes an enemy of the state. They hold opinions that the governor of Florida doesn't like. Had that bill gone through. But one of your friends is on the naughty list. And because of SignalTrace, they know this person is known to you because you gave this person a ride twice last month to work. And in addition to that, Ring tells Flock, yeah, this person's been to your house three times in the last month because facial recognition. They come in your house, they stay for an hour, they leave. Most people don't let strangers in their house for an hour repeatedly. So I've got two pieces of evidence that says you and the person that is now wanted because they hold the wrong opinions, I've got two pieces of data now that says you're buddies. Police are looking for this individual and they're not home, but I've noticed that your hot water usage went up 25% in the last week. You probably have a guest staying with you. We're looking for your buddy. We know they're your buddy. And the icing on the cake, we know what your buddy likes to watch. And about the time your buddy quit going home because we saw when his water usage dropped, and about the time your buddy probably started staying with you because your water usage went up, we also noticed that your buddy's favorite Netflix shows, you started watching those about the time that your buddy wasn't home anymore. Prepare to have your front door kicked in, because pattern of life data not only says this person holds the wrong views, but this person is likely at your house. This is another Flock product. It's not a camera, it's a smart microphone. And what it does, this is mounted, and you can see this is a nature trail. You can't see the trail, but this is a nature trail. This is at the campus of Kennesaw State University. What that microphone does, it is an AI-powered microphone, and it was originally sold as a gunshot detector. If someone fires a gun, it will recognize that was a gunshot. It will call the cops. If you have multiple of these and somebody fires a gun, one of these, the one closest to the gunshot's going to hear it first. The one further away is going to hear it later. They can look at the time lag between when the first one's heard, when the second one's heard. They can figure out approximately where the gunshot was fired from. Well, it was a gunshot detector until Flock pushed a software update. Now it's also detecting aggression. It's detecting sounds of distress. Can anyone define for me what are the sounds of distress? Serious question. A man and wife think because they're out on a nature trail, walking through a woods, they foolishly think no one's listening to them because no one's around and they're out in the middle of nowhere. And they're discussing something and they get into an argument. Is this going to call the cops because somebody raised their voice or because somebody used a bad word? Don't know. But it's detecting sounds of distress. May or may not include yelling. Don't know. And I wish it stopped here, but it doesn't, because there is no logical stopping point. Facial recognition's not enough, we need emotional recognition. AI-powered cameras aren't enough, we need AI-powered microphones. Knowing what people are doing when they think they're alone out in the woods, that's not enough. So in addition to all of this, there's also these. Has anyone seen one of these in a public restroom? This is called a halo sensor. And what a halo sensor is, it looks like a regular smoke detector, and it does detect smoke, which, if you think about it, what's the likelihood of a fire breaking out in a public restroom where you have steel stalls, you have ceramic stools, you have tile floor, you have ceramic sinks, you have glass mirrors? What is there to burn inside of a restroom? Toilet paper and sometimes paper towel if they don't have a hand dryer. But anyway, first clue is, do you really need smoke detectors in a restroom? Well, these are sold for public safety, especially in education. What if a kid goes into the restroom to smoke? Well, the smoke detector can pick it up. This will also pick up vaping. So even if you're not smoking, it'll pick up vaping. There's also an occupancy sensor built into this. And again, a couple of years ago, people would think, you're making that up. No, I wish I was. Occupancy insights for efficiency. Halo's people counting sensors. So this sensor in the bathroom is counting how many people are coming in and out. But it doesn't stop there. It also has aggression detection. Applies aggression detection through analytics. There are microphones built into the public restroom sensors. There are, from the factory, 5 programmed spoken word triggers. So this smoke detector mounted in the public restroom, if someone says one of 5 keywords, authorities are going to be called. And you can expand that. If you're buying one of these sensors, you can have additional words added to the keyword list. So let's couple this with people that hold the wrong views and opinions. Could one of these be programmed to pick up someone talking about something we don't want people talking about? Someone expressing opinions the state doesn't want expressed? Somebody questioning a shot that all of us were required to get a couple of years ago? But we have these sensors. And the point is, and I'm going to wrap this up here in just a second. The point is, patterns of life data, we are leaking data every single day because we have all of these pieces of infrastructure out there that most people had no idea about. I will put in a plug here. EscapeTheTechnocracy.com. I know the people behind this organization. They have privacy guides. They have video classes. They have books. If you want to learn how to minimize your digital footprint, this is a great resource. EscapeTheTechnocracy.com/reform. That will get you a 10% discount. Meta's glasses. Now, I have a pair of these. I purchased solely for the purpose of testing. Because not only do they have cameras built into the lens frames where they could walk into a room and record everyone in the room, they also have a microphone built in. My concern is, if I'm sitting with someone inside of a restaurant, inside of a coffee shop, and we're having a serious discussion, I don't want somebody at the next table live streaming me back to Meta. And this is not a hypothetical. Meta is currently being sued for the data being collected by these, because when you're wearing them, you're constantly live streaming audio and video. Meta was paying employees in other countries to watch live streams. And guess what happens when you look in a mirror? You're a part of your own live stream. Things were being picked up because people didn't know in intimate moments this is being sent back to Meta. And so a whole bunch of people that bought these because they wanted to use them, I wanted to test them. But people that bought these to actually use them were surprised their audio, their video is being processed by Meta. And it's different. If I'm sitting at a coffee table and you come in and sit at the table next to me and I'm having a serious conversation with someone, is there a chance you're going to overhear? Sure. Am I worried about you? Probably not. But if you're wearing these, now AI is listening. Anyone in here know who Larry Ellison is? For a brief time in September 2025, he was the richest man in the world. He is the chairman of Oracle. And when Oracle's stock spiked, briefly he became the wealthiest man in the world. He's now only the third or fourth richest man in the world. Only. First thing he did is he went out and he bought Paramount. I do not like this, regardless of who the people are. Five companies in the United States control 80% of our media. And I've got the numbers at home. I can show you exactly who owns what. But Paramount is one of the five companies that owns 80% of the media in the United States. Warner Discovery is another of the five companies that owns 80%. Larry Ellison bought Paramount. Then his son, David Ellison, bought Warner Discovery. One family now controls 40% of 80%. You do the math, the Ellison family controls 32% of the media in the United States. Way, way too much power for any one family. In addition, Larry Ellison also has control of TikTok. He doesn't own it outright, but he owns enough to control it. So when you think one family controls TikTok and controls 32% of the media in the United States, that bothers me. Nobody, even if it was my best friend, I would say that's too much power for one person. But let's look at what Larry Ellison said in a shareholder call. This is public record. It was a shareholder call. He said, "We will have supervision," we meaning all of us. "We will have supervision. We will be on our best behavior because AI is going to be watching video streams. We know that we're going to be recorded 24/7. And he specifically listed body cams, dash cams, doorbell cams. AI is going to be processing all of this, and this is why everyone's going to be on their best behavior. And my very first thought was, if that's true, people are on their best behavior and crime goes away when people know they're being filmed, then the safest place in the United States should be a federal prison. Because in federal prison, you have no right to privacy whatsoever. You can be strip searched for any reason or no reason, and there are cameras absolutely everywhere. And then I went out and I looked up a Inspector General's report from the Department of Justice about how many murders have occurred in prison. Well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. There's cameras everywhere. People are on their best behavior. There shouldn't be any murders. Guards should not be assaulting female inmates, but that happens all the time. So this is my big problem with Meta's glasses and people wearing this. I'm not so worried about the person wearing the glasses. I'm worried about where my conversation's going to go because they're being picked up. A friend of mine gave me this. I bought a similar device that's larger, but I just want to show this to everyone. This is an audio jammer, and I am in process of testing it now. I was testing it just today. Kind of looks like a battery charger, and in fact, it works as a battery charger. You can charge this up, then you can recharge your phone from it. But the main purpose of this, there are ultrasonic transmitters inside of this. And so what I can do with this, I can walk into a restaurant, I can turn this on, lay it down on the table. It's making ultrasonic noise. Most people cannot hear it. When I was testing it today, the waiter walked up to my table And the waiter was looking around like, and I thought, I know what he's doing. He's trying to figure out where that sound's coming from. Most people can't hear it. Some people can. It's a very, very high-pitched sound, and it's not deafening or harmful. It's just probably annoying if you can hear it. But here's the purpose of this. If I were sitting talking to someone, this is not interfering with our conversation whatsoever, because chances are we can't hear it, and if we do hear it, it's just like a high-pitched sound, but it's not really disruptive. But this wreaks havoc on microphones. I tested this today, probably looks strange sitting there talking to myself at the table, but I pulled out my cell phone, I opened up an app that has an audio recorder on it, and I hit record, and I just started talking, and then did that for about 15 seconds, stopped, and I listened back to what had been recorded on my phone, and it just sounded like nails on a chalkboard. It was just a constant high-pitched screech. So I thought, cool. So the friend who gave this to me, he ordered two of them. They came in, no problem. This did come from China. But he ordered two of them. They came in, no problem. He tested them, saw that they worked, gave me one of them. He ordered 20 more of them because he thought, good business model. I'm going to buy them from China, going to mark them up, going to sell them. When the 20 came in from China, they were confiscated by customs. He lost his money. He did not get his money back for them, but customs confiscated these, would not let them through. They are not illegal. This is not an RF jammer. RF jammers are illegal. This is not illegal. It only interferes with recordings of audio. But apparently somebody doesn't want us to have them. So I'm seriously considering doing a Kickstarter. My background is electrical engineering. I have friends that are very good at electrical engineering. And I am seriously considering doing a Kickstarter to make a small version very similar to this that would be able to get in people's hands cheaper than the other one that I purchased. Well, let's start to wrap this up. This is Meta. And Meta has announced they are doing something with these glasses that put a chill down my spine. Shortly after these glasses came out in October of 24, two students at Harvard decided, let's live stream this back to a laptop that uses facial recognition. And what they did, they were walking down a hallway in a building at Harvard, and as they're walking by classmates, whoever's walking by, that person's name and social media profile pops up. They're not having to touch anything. The glasses are picking someone up on camera. The camera is being fed directly into facial recognition. Facial recognition is then looking people up and telling the wearer of the glasses who this person is. And when you think what scammers could do with this, more horrifying than anything, think what predators could do with this. There's the 6, 8, 9-year-old child. You look at them, you instantly see who they are, instantly see who their family is. The predator then approaches the child. Hey, your mom, Sarah Jane, whatever her name is, she's been injured. She wanted me to come get you. You know the child's name, you know the parent's name. What's the kid gonna think? Must be legit. They could even drop, you know, your brother Joey's already at the hospital with your mom. I was sent to get you. This is horrifying what these things can be used for. Last thing I'll talk about, well, next to the last thing, smart streetlights. This is a company that is embedding cameras and AI-powered microphones in streetlights so that they can pick up sounds of distress. Again, this is for public safety. But they're doing that, cameras and microphones out on the streetlights. Already talked about those. Dash cams, I have a dash cam. It is not connected to the internet. If there is something I want to share with someone, I pull an SD card out of my dash cam, I put it on a laptop, I can do whatever I want with it, but this in my car does not connect to the internet. I don't want anyone having access to it. Flock has already announced, in addition to trying to partner with Amazon, Flock was trying to partner with dash cam companies because they have this insatiable appetite for knowing things about people, and dash cams are perfect. They can get millions more license plate scans per day if they partner with a dash cam company. Your car itself is collecting data on you. This was a car I rented on vacation last year. Vehicle data transmission is on. I didn't ask for that, but this is the rental car. Your vehicle transmits recorded vehicle data to Nissan and its business partners for various purposes. Could you be a little more vague? For various business purposes. And Nissan, if you look at their privacy policy, Nissan has in their privacy policy that they collect information on sexual activity. And the first thing in my mind is, how? don't know, but that's what their own privacy policy says. Cars are getting more and more sensors in them. Then there are the smart shelf tags. They can detect who is standing in front of them because you have a phone in your pocket with Bluetooth. These have Bluetooth readers in them. A friend of mine had this experience. Young man, mid-20s, he went to a pharmacy waiting on a prescription, has a couple of minutes to kill. He's just kind of standing around. He is nutritionally conscious. And out of curiosity, he picks up a jar of baby food. He's not married, he doesn't have kids, never bought baby food before. But he just picks up a jar of baby food because he's wondering what type of ingredients are in it. Sets it down, gets his prescription, goes to the checkout. At the checkout register, guess what he has a coupon for? The exact brand of baby food that he had picked up about a minute earlier. Because this detected his phone, and when he got to the checkout, this knew that he had been picking up baby food. So that's what he got for his coupon. Already talked about the smart payment systems and the facial recognition that's being used at your point of sale checkout scanners. So the bottom line is there are so many forms of surveillance gathering every bit of data that they can about us. It's absolutely infuriating. And I'm going to wrap up this whole presentation. I want to play one thing for you. And it's a little bit noisy back there, so I'm going to turn the volume up as much as I can up here and hope that you're able to hear it.
Hi, you must be James.
Sarah Renee Smith, age 39, Buddhist, twice divorced, with a 14-year-old daughter attending Riverside Middle School. It's nice to meet you in person.
Yeah, that is me, but how did you...
We have so much in common. It's like we are soulmates.
What do you mean we have so much in common? I didn't tell you hardly anything about me on the dating app.
Well, for starters, you were born in Dallas, and I was born in Fort Worth. It's like we were practically neighbors until your family moved to Phoenix when you were 12. And you have high blood pressure and were treated for chlamydia last year, and so was I.
What? Are you a stalker? How long have you been spying on me?
I am not a stalker. You probably got that idea from the 4 episodes of Unsolved Mysteries. You streamed on Netflix last night on your 2023 13-inch MacBook Air. You really shouldn't watch that garbage. It makes people paranoid.
This conversation is over. You are a creep and I'm going home.
A little unnerving. Accurate. I want to show you something. And I am not intending to just pick on Liberty Mutual, because Liberty Mutual does what most insurance companies do. What questions are illegal for an employer to ask in a job interview? If I apply for a job and during the interview the potential employer ask me, are you married? Can't ask that. If you're a woman, are you pregnant or do you plan to become pregnant? Nope, can't ask that. That's an interesting last name. What's the ethnic origin? Can't ask that. You ever been in prison? Nope, can't ask that. Race, religion, national origin. There's a whole bunch of what's called protected information that it is illegal for an employer to ask you during an interview. And the reason it is illegal is because it is assumed if employers know this information, it could be used for discrimination. I'm wanting to hire someone, but if I know this woman is planning on having children, then she's gonna have to take time off and I don't wanna mess with that, I just won't hire her. Nope, that's illegal. So your employer is prohibited from asking a whole bunch of questions because the law says we just assume if you ask these questions, you're gonna discriminate. So let's look at an insurance company. And again, not picking on Liberty Mutual, they're just the one that I've researched first. What information does Liberty Mutual know about you? And reading this inspired that video clip that, it was AI generated, but that video clip of Sarah and James was inspired by this privacy policy. Effective October 2025, we're talking fairly recently, this is just 6 months ago. What personal data do we collect? Okay. Identifiers, your real name, aliases, address, online identifiers, your IP address, email address, social security number, driver's license, or other similar identifiers. We want to know who you are. Okay, that's probably pretty standard. In addition, personal data such as your name, your signature, your social security number, physical characteristics like height, weight, eye color, description, address, telephone number, driver's license, education, employment, employment history, bank account number, financial. Okay, if I buy insurance from you, I can understand you needing to know my bank account number. Why do you need to know my employment history? If I have a job now, does it really matter who I worked for 4 or 5 years ago? Why do you need to know my education? If I have an advanced degree, do I get a discount or are you going to charge me more? Inquiring minds want to know. Protected classification characteristics. This is what it's illegal for an employer to ask you. Age, race, color, national origin, citizenship, religion, marital status, physical or mental disability, sex, sexual orientation, veteran or military status. A lot of personal information. But wait, there's more. Commercial data, including records of personal property, products or services purchased. If you're using a credit card, it's being logged and your insurance company's gonna know. Is this so that if you buy too much alcohol, they can decide not to write you an insurance policy? Don't know. But again, the assumption with employers is if you collect the information, it's gonna be used for discrimination. Or other purchasing or consuming histories and tendencies. That doesn't sound Orwellian at all. They're just buying records of everything that you buy because they wanna know what you're consuming, what your tendencies are. Internet or similar network activity, including your browsing history, your search history, data about consumers' interaction with a website, application, or advertisement. Audio, electronic, and visual data, including photographs, aerial imagery, videos, audio, voice recordings, and transcriptions. I want to pause on this one for a second. Aerial imagery. About a year ago, I was at Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was part of a panel discussion. There was myself and an individual from Electronic Frontier Foundation. We were the two pro-privacy people. Then there were two people from the insurance industry, and we were talking about privacy and insurance. And one of them, because somebody in the audience asked a question about insurance companies using drones to basically see what do you have in your backyard. And one of the people from the insurance industry spoke up and said, insurance companies don't do that. And I had my iPad open, and that person talked as I'm scrolling, and as soon as they were done talking, I turned my iPad around and said, it's funny that they don't do that, because this is a story from California where the channel whatever went out and investigated why this woman who had had a property insurance policy for 30 years was canceled, and it was because a drone had flown over from the insurance company. So he's saying they don't do that, and I'm saying, here's the evidence from a TV station that verified that that's the case. Professional or employment details, including current and past job history. But this is my favorite category of them all. Inferences drawn from other personal data, such as a profile reflecting a person's preferences, characteristics, psychological trends, predispositions, behavior, attitude, intelligence, abilities, and aptitudes. So that's what your insurance company collects about you. This is what inspired me to make the Sarah and James video, because how much of this information do you know about your insurance agent? Well, that'd be creepy if you knew that, because you're invading their privacy. They know it about you. So the whole point of this whole presentation, our data is being sucked up by everyone for everything. Advertisers are doing it so they can send you targeted ads and separate you from your money. But law enforcement is lapping it up because they are buying this data, and the people collecting this data don't care about you at all. They care about money. And if they can make money by collecting your personal data and monetizing it, that's a great business model, because they make lots of money for very little work. Law enforcement's buying it because this is so much easier than going to a judge to get a warrant. I am a big, big believer in the Constitution. The Fourth Amendment says that people have the right to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. And that if a search warrant is requested, the actual language of the Fourth Amendment says no warrant shall issue unless the person requesting it must testify under oath. They're making this claim under oath about their probable cause. Why do I suspect this person is guilty of this crime? So let's just think about the checklist here. I have to name the person that I want to search. I have to identify the crime I think that person committed. Probable cause means I have to have some evidence that that person did it. It may not be enough to convince a jury they're guilty, but here is my evidence for thinking this person did it. Judge, give me a warrant so I can go look for additional evidence. Need to name the person, need to name the crime, need to name the evidence I already have that suggests this person committed this crime. That's what's required to get a warrant. That's way too much work. Let's just go out and buy a subscription to where everyone has been minute by minute for the last couple of years, and then I can start looking for crimes that may have happened. A store was robbed in this neighborhood. Well, let's look at who was nearby. These eight people might be guilty. This completely turns the Fourth Amendment on its head. This is, we don't know for sure a crime was even committed. We're going to look at hundreds, if not thousands, of people, and then we're going to decide who is of interest to us that we want to pursue further using pattern of life data. No warrant required. So I am doing everything I can to try and encourage people, take back control of your privacy where you can. It's not a switch that you flip. Short of leaving the country and living in a cave somewhere without power, you're not going to get rid of all of this. But there are things that you can start doing to start reducing the amount of data being collected on you. At a minimum, go through your phone, delete apps you don't need. For the apps that you keep, look at what permissions they have. If that app does not need, and I mean seriously need, your location, don't allow that app to have access to your location. If it doesn't need your microphone, don't give it access to the microphone. You see somebody wearing a pair of these Meta glasses, politely ask them if they would mind turning those off. This has become a big deal because cameras are not allowed in courtrooms, and judges have been getting really ticked off at people walking into the courtroom wearing these glasses. Again, does the judge know that they're turned on? No, but just like employers, we're going to assume if you're collecting this data that you're misusing it. Judges aren't saying, hey, are those turned on? No, they're slamming their gavel and they're ordering you out of their courtroom because you're not allowed to bring a camera in. So again, I'll bring up escapethetechnocracy.com/reform, get a 10% discount, and there's courses in there about additional things that you can do to start reducing your digital footprint.